Here we go. This is Brian and Bill's Job Seeker Podcast. Well, hi, folks. This is Brian and Bill online again with our Job Seeker Podcast, putting out tips, tricks, and suggestions for those of you that are entering or re-entering the marketplace, looking for work, looking for a new position, whatnot. On the line with me tonight is Bill. How are you, Bill?
I'm good, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's our topic for tonight?
I want to talk a little bit about how people style or modify their resume with either bolds or italics, and some other things within the construction of a resume.
Sounds interesting. You mean you don't just put everything, every other word in bold type to impress the living daylights out of them?
Well, that would probably be one of the worst things to do. Bold is one of the things that I think we ought to talk about, because the more bolding you do, the more I think you are trying to highlight things that most people who read resumes will be able to find on their own. I would suggest to most people that if you're going to do any bolding, you do it minimally. You do it when you're going to list a new company that you haven't listed before, or when you have some new and fairly significant responsibility. But I would keep the text effects, bold, italic, underline, things like that, to a minimum.
Don't want it to be corny looking, huh?
No, I mean, I've seen people who have very graphically interesting resumes where they use color and highlighting and all this other stuff, and my impression is that it's a distraction rather than a benefit for the candidate.
Makes sense to me. What else should we be looking for?
Well, the other things are, there are a couple of different kinds of resumes. There's a chronological resume, a functional resume, and a bio of some sort. And I think it's important in a chronological resume that you make sure that the dates that you put in there are continuous, and that every section of time is covered in the resume. Because most reviewers will look at those things and look for gaps, and if they find something, they're going to question. They may not call you in at all, and if they do, they're going to question why there's a date gap. So you need to make sure in a chronological resume that the dates from the beginning of time in your resume until now, until whatever's current, are contiguous.
Now, what happens if you do have a time gap between jobs, say, but it was for a very legitimate reason?
Well, that's if there is a break in your work history and you're doing some other things, then I think that needs to be listed in a chronological resume. There are a lot of reasons why people today might have a break in the work history. They may have some medical situation that needs to be taken care of. They may be a caregiver for somebody that needs medical attention or full-time attention, so they decide to step away from their career to do those kinds of things. There may also be some educational things that you're going to do to further your educational involvement, or when we talk about this in another podcast, you may be doing some volunteering while you're in transition. Every one of those things should be listed in your resume to cover the time period from the beginning of your work history until now.
So if there's a gap in your employment history, so to speak, your formal employment history, the worst thing you can do is not explain it.
Right. And the worst thing you can do is not have something to put in there that absorbs the time. There are quite a number of people who are out of work these days, and many of them are taking that opportunity to go back to finish their college degree or get an advanced degree or pick up some special technical training courses. Those things should be listed as things that you are doing for yourself while you have the opportunity, as well as volunteering for any number of kinds of things that you might be able to help with. It shows that you stay involved, that you stay active, that you continue to contribute and perhaps contribute in areas other than your professional career, but still you're doing something to help people while you're trying to get yourself a job.
Got it. Now, this chronological resume that we're talking about, that's probably the one that's most familiar to, well, at least to me, and I'm sure to our listeners, but you've also mentioned a functional resume. What would that be?
Well, a functional resume is a statement of the capabilities that each one of our folks might have. If you've been in an industry, whether it's pharmaceutical or financial or information technology or real estate or whatever, you've absorbed and been able to to do quite a number of things across the gamut of things that are done in that industry. The way I look at it is, I'm in information technology, so I put an organization chart together of a typical information technology organization, and my functional resume talks about each one of those boxes on the organization chart to say what it is that I do within that job title, because I've done quite a number of them. So I can write a functional resume that talks about everything in IT from the CIO and leadership functions and strategic planning to down to programming and testing and running a computer operation. But in that, I don't have to say in this job I did this thing or for this company I did this thing. I can just describe the fact that I'm able to do any one of a number of things within an IT organization.
Now, would it be a good idea for someone to have both a functional resume and a chronological resume?
Absolutely. I think it's very important because you need to be able to select from different options when you're submitting for a job, and it may be necessary that you take a portion of your chronological resume, a portion of your functional resume, and write it very specifically for a job. So I think you need several different versions of these resumes on hand so that when you look at a particular position, you can decide how much of which one you want to submit.
Sounds like some pretty good advice for our listeners. Hope it was of some value. I guess it's time for us to sign off, and we'll be back soon with our next topic and our next podcast for our listeners.
Very cool.
So with that, there you go. We'll get ready to get on out of here. And we want to remind everybody to let us hear what you think of the podcast. And, you know, emails. Bill, you want to give our email address out to our listeners?
Yeah, the email address is whendoyoustoplooking@gmail.com.
Anything you want to tell us about the strong points, maybe the weak points, or maybe additional topics that you want to hear us cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. So with that...
And don't forget that if you want to record your voice with a question that you have, you can attach that to the email, and we'll use that in one of our podcasts so that you can introduce the topic in your voice, and then we can respond to it.
Sounds good. Well, with that, I'm going to say good night. Good night, Bill.
Good night, Brian.
Take care. We'll see you later.
All right.